This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker. Special guest, we'll introduce him in a little while, but Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk Tuesday night. Man, it goes by every week, Johnny. I'm like, how do we, you know, it's like Tuesday, it feels like every day because there's so much we talk about and there's so many different guests out there. But tonight, I want to get right to it, though. If you listen to the old Busted Pencils podcast, you know our next guest. I will introduce him seriously as my brother from another mother, Mitchell Robinson, the Michigan State professor extraordinaire, Electablog blogger. Mitchell, welcome to Busted Pencils.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Johnny. Great to be with you.
So, okay, let's, you in your Electablog, you disagree a little bit, or may, I don't know what it is, but Virginia and Democrats, there's a problem. And you say Virginia was not about education, but Democrats need to be. Mitchell, are you saying that Democrats aren't the party of education?
Well, I know that the Republicans are not the party of education. I'm afraid that what has happened over the last couple of decades, and I think a lot of teachers are like I am, and we've been sitting in our classrooms and just shaking our heads as the Democratic Party has kind of right on
Got a little bit, Mitchell. So jump in. I know what he's saying.
It's not to the point where I can't.
We got your back, Mitchell. Go ahead.
So it's not to the point where I'm going to start voting for Mitt Romney or anything crazy like that. But I would just really like the party that I feel that I'm in kind of the core of to.
Yeah,
supporting the students that go to public schools, and it means supporting teachers who lit. I feel that they've taken a little bit of a turn away from supporting that public institution.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so people missed that part. Hey, Mitchell, we're going to have you break out and give us a call back in. We've got a bad connection with you. Johnny, let's break that up. And then Evan, our producer up there in Madison, you'll bring Mitchell back in. So Mitchell, if you sign back out and then come back in, we'll bring you back. But Johnny, the Democrats, we've had some tough times with them ourselves.
Absolutely. Tim. I mean, it doesn't matter what political party you're affiliated with. You're fair game here on Busted Pencils. You know, we tend to align more often than not with the Democrat Party. But as you and I both know, things have been shaken up quite a bit. And so there are folks who identify as Republican who we probably agree with more than some of the folks who identify as Democrat. So we're paying close attention to what we can and making sure that we're holding everybody accountable. And so if you're not thinking about how to best support democracy, I don't care. I'm with Mitchell. Like, I would like representatives who stick to that regardless of their party. Right. So this is a nonpartisan issue. We start talking about quality of education. We start talking about public health. We start talking about ending racism and sexism and all these things that we know we can address with proper funding and good public schools. And so we have a guest like Mitchell on tonight, who's not only writing, but engaging in the public in that kind of way. What can our schools do to be more supportive of the kinds of democracies that we not only dream of, but our founding fathers really believed were possible? And so I'm excited to have him here tonight.
So Mitchell, I think we got you on the phone right now, right, buddy? You're back?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you here. We can hear you. So sorry about that. A little bit of a glitch sometimes coming through on the Zoom. But so Mitchell, I mean, so Virginia, we Democrats lost, and education, though, I mean, does the blame go all the way back, as you say in your blog, to Clinton, or was it an inability this time to really go out hardcore and counter the narrative of the Republicans, of which you pretty much capture as like, look, racist white supremacy, and they won on that, where the Democrats could not even counter straight up racism and white supremacy. I mean, that's where you were going, right?
Well, I think the problem is at least twofold. I do think that the party started attacking either towards the middle or towards the right, depending on how you look at it, during Clinton. For someone like me who proudly voted for President Obama twice, it was really painful to watch that administration essentially be a third term and a fourth term of Bush, who came before. So, you know, all the testing initiatives, race to the top, none of those things felt like Democratic and progressive initiatives to me. They felt like Republican carrot on a stick ploys to try to make teachers into lower critical thinking workers that might be enticed by a couple of dollars or a federal program here and there. But I think the other problem is indeed a messaging problem. And my favorite writer on this right now is Anat Shankar Osorio. And she talks about how your message needs to not amplify the message of your opponent. So I think what's happened with the Republicans is that they don't have any issues to run on. There's not a platform there. I mean, we saw that when Trump ran for re-election, that he basically just copied and pasted the platform from the first time around. There are no ideas here on the right. So what they've done is they've substituted a couple of boogeymen. And the first one was critical race theory. In my job, I work with doctoral students as well, and I'm pretty aware of what critical race theory is and what it's not. We've used it in a number of dissertations in our program. It's not the thing that my children were learning in school. So it's a boogeyman. It's something that is meant to scare people. And sadly, I think it worked. There were enough nice white parents in Northern Virginia that kind of took it bait, hook, line, and sinker. And it was not a compelling, overwhelming victory for Glenn Youngkin either. It was, I think, 1.3%, something like that. So we're talking slight margins. And I think what we need to do is find candidates who are willing to go back to Democratic roots and support workers, support organized labor, support teachers in classrooms, and support teaching the truth.
Well, and that I agree 100%. I'm just watching some of the, you know, the people here in the media who are trying to break this down. You know, we're going to come into our first break here in 2 minutes, but I like the old, as you said, the old Democrat, Johnny Lupinacci from Detroit, Tim Slecker from Pittsburgh, Mitchell Robinson, Buffalo. I mean, you know, the fact is that it's interesting in these days that those areas are hard for Democrats to win. And I think when you point that out, you know, people say, well, they're not talking to the right people. But I think it's also because they've been, as you said, Mitchell, they've been a disaster on the essential need of great public schools in the quote Rust Belt areas. And by being a disaster on those issues, when you came up as, you know, whether it's Youngkin or a Republican with no message and or just a message of I'm against everything, and Democrats had no ability to step up and say, well, we're for strong public schools, the inability to make that point was so obvious here coming into the race when McAuliffe had to, quote, take back the fact that what he was trying to say was is that actually public schools are spaces where we all don't get to demand they're not private schools. This is the place where we actually science matters, where truth matters, as you said.
Right.
He had to admit that that was a gaffe. Mitchell Robinson, Michigan State, Electablog, Johnny Lupinacci, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break.